This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This episode is supported by Clear Protein. And I've got to say, this one really surprised me. Most protein powders, thick, chalky, and you have to choke them down with some milk. Clear is totally different. It's a whey protein isolate that mixes clear in water. More like a sports drink than a heavy shake. You still get 20 grams of protein per serving with zero sugar, zero lactose, and none of that bloated feeling you get from traditional shakes. The flavors are actually good too. Strawberry watermelon and wild blue raspberry are my go-tos. It's been perfect for after workouts or even just that midday pick-me-up when you don't feel weighted down by food. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your order, the best discount they offer anywhere. Just head over to Clear Protein and use code ZEROSIGNAL at checkout. That's clear with a K, clearprotein.com, code ZEROSIGNAL.
October 30th, 2024, over the waters of Yemen, U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone tracks down a glowing orb. The second Reaper lines up for the kill. The weapon, a Hellfire missile. Battle-proven, precision-guided, and the kind of solution that ultimately ends problems. The missile fires, it hits, and then nothing. No fireball, no wreckage. The object keeps moving as if physics simply stepped aside. Tonight, we're going into the hearing room where lawmakers rolled the video. You will hear frustration from the members. You will hear what the clip appears to show, and you'll hear testimony hinting at recovered craft not built by us. This is Zero Signal, Conspiracy Shorts. I'm David Green. Let's start in the room.
Thank you, everyone. It takes such great courage to come forward, and we acknowledge that, and I hope that you see that we are taking that seriously. And so very thankful for what you're doing today. I'm also very thankful for previous witnesses that have come forward. I see Matthew Brown in the audience. He courageously stepped forward and was as a witness. I encourage everybody to look and seek his testimony. I want to thank the people that came in our first hearing, Ryan Graves, David Grubb, David Fravor, and in our second hearing, Admiral Gallaudet, Lou Elizondo, and Mr. Gold, and the many others that have come forward. We hear you, and it's time that it's time that we take action. Look, I'm not jumped to the conclusion that I believe that there are aliens coming from another planet, but I'm open to that. And I think that it's our responsibility, especially when we're seeing that we have a government that is simply blocking information from us. Just last night, I tried to get an amendment onto the National Defense Authorization Act that fit in the germaneness of that bill to have UAP disclosure. And conveniently, it was named non-germane, mostly deemed by staff, not even an elected official. This is the kind of stuff that we repeatedly see. Last year, we were blocked by someone in House administration from being able to receive a full briefing from Aero. So not an elected official, but someone in staff blocked us. And I've had it. Enough is enough.
You just heard something rare in Washington. A thank you layered over a warning. Pilots, intel officers, and investigators got name-checked. People who for years have risked careers by stepping into the light. Ryan Graves talking about metallic orbs pacing Navy fighters off the East Coast. David Fravor describing a tic-tac-toe that out-accelerated anything we could fly. And David Grush alleging crash retrieval and reverse engineering buried under classification. The message from the chair wasn't subtle. We hear you. And were being blocked. Now, why does this matter? Because it reframes the whole conversation. For decades, the government reflex with UAP wasn't curiosity, it was containment. The playbook was dismiss pilots as mistaken, bury radar tracks under sources and methods, and promise that someone behind the scenes will look into it. But when a member of Congress says on mic that unelected staffers quashed a briefing and marked a disclosure amendment non-germane before debate, that's not just inertia, that's active gatekeeping. Now, let's be fair. There are reasons to protect sensitive material. If sensor specs, engagement roles, or platform capabilities are baked into a video, you can't casually drop that onto the internet. Sources and methods matter. But secrecy is supposed to protect the nation, not protect the narrative. When lawmakers themselves are saying, we're not being allowed to see this video, you've crossed from necessary protection into accountability failure. Now, think about the posture the public has been asked to hold for years. On one hand, there's nothing here. And on the other hand, we can't show you what's here. That contradiction burns trust. The pilots aren't anonymous now. The radar techs aren't anonymous. The incidents from the Nimitz off San Diego to the East Coast gimbal video aren't whispers. They're logged, timestamps, censored, recorded. And that creates new obligations. If the government wants public confidence, it has to treat the public like adults, admit what it knows, admit what it doesn't, and stop pretending curiosity is the enemy. So when the congressman says enough is enough, he's not just venting. He's setting the stage for what comes next. However limited, rolled in public form where everyone has their own reaction. That clip isn't a read it leak. It isn't a rumor. It's Congress saying, watch this with us. And that's where we go next. The date is specific. October 30th, 2024. The platform is specific. MQ-9 Reapers. The munitions is specific. A Hellfire. You don't need to be a munitions expert to know the headline. When a Hellfire hits you, you don't shrug it off. Which is why this footage, if it shows what it appears to show, is a problem.
I want to queue up a video that I've been given. And as before it starts, I'm going to describe. This was taken October 30th. Of 2024. This video is of an MQ-9 drone tracking an orb, or this object, off the coast of Yemen. You'll see that another MQ-9 launched a Hellfire missile. You cannot see that drone, and I'm not going to explain it to you. You'll see exactly what it does.
Let's pin down what we just heard. An MQ-9 Reaper, long endurance, high altitude, stacked with sensors, tracks a spherical target over water. A second Reaper, off frame, launches a Hellfire. If you have never dug into the hardware, here's a quick tour. Fire refers to the AGM-114 family, laser-guided on radar-guided missiles with range suited for close air support and counterinsurgency, carrying warheads that defeat armor, vehicles, and fortified points. Over decades, variants rolled out. Shaped charges, blast frag, even the R9X, a kinetic version designed to minimize collateral damage. But you know, the common thread is brutal efficiency. You put warhead on a target, the target has a very bad day. Now, in engagement like the one described, several things happen at once. Targeting sensors track position and velocity. The missile rides guidance, laser energy or radar cues to the aim point. Fusing determines the detonation. Impact fuse when you physically hit, or proximity fuse if you're engineered to airburst near the target. If it's an R9X, you're expecting kinetic energy and slicing blades, not an explosive plume. Still devastating at contact. Then there are mundane failure modes. A seeker can lose lock. The warhead can fail to detonate. The missile can miss by a meter, which at speeds is still close on video. And optical illusions are real. Camera parallel can make two objects in the same frame appear to intersect when they're separated in depth. Compression artifacts can smear edges so you infer a hit. But all those mundane explanations get weaker if the operators and the analysts who touch this footage with access to raw sensor feeds and telemetry are saying, no, this was hit. Remember, a Reaper engagement is not a single shaky camera. You can have multiple sensors in play, electro-optical, infrared, laser designators, metadata timestamps. If the full package shows a Hellfire reaching an aim point and registering a contact, and that object then maintains course, you're in territory that demands new explanations. Maybe the object isn't a spear at all, so much as an emission of bright sensor bloom, a hot signature that looks like a ball. Maybe the missile impacted something adjacent, a decoy, a wake effect, so the target you see isn't a target the missile actually hit. These are real possibilities and definitely should be tested first. But if you burned through those, the data still say contact without consequence. Then you're in the realm of material science or field effects we don't publicly own. Think about the plasma sheaths that could disperse blast energy, or metamaterials engineered to channel shockwaves around a form, or active countermeasures that detonate a fuse prematurely out of phase. You know, those ideals, sci-fi, until you remember how much classified R&D never sees daylight. The question is really simple at that point. Who has it? Because if a nation state has it, we just watched a deterrence problem in 1080p. And if no nation state has it, we're not in a normal arms race story. That's why this footage matters. It's not a lights in the sky antidote. It's kinetics. A weapon met an object, and that weapon lost.
Mr. Knapp, do you have any, have you heard about events like this occurring? And what information might you have?
I have heard about this event. Jeremy Corbell and I talked about it in one of our episodes a while back. We did not have the video, though. There are servers where there's a whole bank of these kind of videos that Congress has not been allowed to see, that the public hasn't been allowed to see. Occasionally, some of that stuff gets out in the wild and it comes our way. It should be going to you. The public should be seeing this stuff. And why you're not allowed to, I don't know. But that's a Hellfire missile smacking into that UFO and just bounced right off. And it kept going.
It kept going, and it looks like the debris was taken with it.
It kept going. If you've ever done battle damage assessment, you know how alien that sentence sounds. And if a strike, analysts look for signatures, fragmentation, heat, shock, plume, secondary explosions, and velocity vector. If a target is still there after impact, it's unusually not unchanged. Its path jitters, its shapes distorts, its thermal profile spikes. The description we just heard says the opposite. The orb maintained course, and what looked like debris struck with it. Let's be rigorous and list the counter reads. First, near miss. The missile passed close, detonated, and the camera angle fooled the eye. Second, fuse failure. A dud. Third, wrong model. If it were a R9X kinetic with slicing effect, you would expect a big blast, though you'd still expect some kinetic consequence on contact. And fourth, post-production artifacts, but in a congressional setting, that would be a scandal by itself. Now stack the pattern claims. People saying there are servers full of similar videos, cases trapped behind classification, lawmakers themselves barred from seeing the raw feeds. If that's hyperbole, fix it with transparency. Declassify one full sensor to strike assessment package, even with sensitive bits blurred, and let independent experts review it. If it's not hyperbole, then the context shifts. One anomalous video is curiosity. Dozens or banks of them is a capability. Here's a frame I use to stay sane. Treat this like a lab result. You can't replicate it yet. You don't declare new physics on day one. You document, you isolate variables, you invite replication, and you try to break your own conclusions. But you also don't shove the microscope in a closet because the slide made you a little bit uncomfortable. If this is a strike event with no effect outcome, that's not a UFO campfire story. That's a military problem statement. One more angle. Intent. If an object is contested airspace, can nullify our strike, what was it doing there? Reconnaissance? Signaling? Testing a response? If it's human tech, it's a dominant display. If it's not human tech, then the display is the point. You can't hurt me. Either way, it resets assumptions about imposing the rules of the air. All roads ultimately lead to the same place. You can't leave this as a one-off viral clip. Either show it as a mirage with data or treat it as if it's real and adapt doctrine accordingly. What the hearing did by rolling the video was force that choice into public view. And then the conversation took a sharp turn from objects at a distance to objects up close.
Katsky came to you with government possession of NHI craft and how they ultimately gained entry. Can you testify to the veracity of that claim?
Dr. Lukatsky is an honorable man who served most of his career with the DIA, a very trusted high-level rocket scientist and intelligence analyst who inspired the OSAP program, as I said earlier. In full disclosure, I've co-written two books with him. He drops on myself and our other co-author out of the blue. And it took 14 months for us to get DOPSER approval for him to release two sentences on that. He said this craft, we had managed to get inside of it. It had no wings, no rotor, no tail. It had no fuel tanks. They didn't know how it flew or how it was operated. It clearly looked like it was aerodynamic. He would not go further. He's a by-the-book guy, and until he gets clearance to say more about that, I don't think we're going to hear much more. But it's not ours. It wasn't ours. We didn't make it. We didn't know who made it and how it was built and how it operated. We've got at least one, and I don't know. I think that's enough confirmation that we do have recovered disks and material.
Mr. Borland, in the classified realm, have you been exposed to undeniable confirmation of NHI technology? And then my second question, is base systems involved in any way with reverse engineering exploitation of non-human intelligence craft?
Yeah, we're gonna have to have a conversation this skiff for that. Whether I'm legally even allowed to answer that and whether you're even allowed to hear it, sir.
The testimony moves that discussion from what did we see to what did we touch? The name you heard, Dr. James Lukatsky, is associated with a defense intelligence program that, according to open reporting, examined unconventional airspace signatures and related phenomena. In accounts cleared for publications, he's cautious, measured wording, minimal data, and yet the two sentences attributed to him land like a hammer. We get inside a craft. No conventional controls, no fuel tanks. It flew, and it wasn't ours. Let's parse that for a second. No wings, no rotors, no tails. Rolls out the alphabet soup of drones and airframes and common inventories. No fuel tanks? Implies either a power source we don't recognize or a structure where fuel isn't stored in a way we would call a tank. If it flies and it isn't ours, we're left with two options. Someone else on Earth has silently sprinted past us, or the origin is non-human. Both are extraordinary. Both require extraordinary evidence. And that's where classification walls rise. We're told there's more to say, but not here. There are legitimate reasons for closed sessions. Protecting identities, sources, sensor specs. There's a difference between protecting how we know something and whether we know it. If a craft exists in government custody, the public doesn't need the blueprints to be told the fact of the possession. Conversely, if no such craft exists, say so plainly and provide mechanisms for independent verification that doesn't boil down to trust us. What would proof even look like in a domain soaked with disinformation? Chain of custody documentation spanning decades, materials analyzing show isotopic ratios or lattice structures not achievable within our known industrial complex, high-resolution imagery tied to timestamp telemetry, multiple cleared witnesses willing to testify under penalty of perjury. If a program is truly operating as a wave sap, so classified that even normal oversight can't see it, that's a constitutional problem, not just curiosity. Lawmakers will have to decide whether they accept we can brief you as an answer to a question of this magnitude. Now, let's bring it back to the orb and the hellfire. If you can walk inside an object that flies without fuel tanks, and then you watch a strike that doesn't produce expected damage, those aren't separate stories. They rhyme. And the rhyme is your assumptions about flight, energy, and control are incomplete. So where does that leave us? With the responsibility to talk like grown-ups, to admit uncertainty without hiding behind it, to list alternative explanations without using them as a shield, and to demand that the people who have the unblurred data step forward long enough to show the nation what it actually owns or what it's actually facing. A Hellfire missile meets a glowing orb and does nothing we can measure. In the same room, witnesses hint at craft with no wings, no tanks, no familiar physics, and not ours. Maybe the video fools the eye. Maybe a rival has climbed a ladder we don't talk about. Or maybe this is exactly what it looks like, the public's first sanctioned glimpses of a reality we've been trained not to see. If it's a miss or a failure, publish the analysis. If it's adversary tech, brief the nation honestly. If it's something else, in the limbo and treat citizens like partners in truth, not spectators in a managed reveal. So this is Zero Signal, Conspiracy Shorts. New shorts drop often. Our deep dive long form episodes land Tuesday at 6 a.m. I'm David Green. Subscribe, share this with someone who still thinks UFO just means lights in the sky. Until next time, question everything.